We have so much to be excited about, so much to be thankful for. Me and my wife, we were talking about preaching. Because I've told y'all before, preaching is, it's just a weird thing. And I was talking, isn't it amazing the people that God will use? I said, it's just His faithfulness. It's incredible. And you look in the Old Testament, He used the prophets. You know, and how incredible is that? And I tell my wife, I said, He used the prophets. I said, and in the Old Testament, the Bible says He even used an ass to talk. My wife said, well, that's not a big deal. He does that every Wednesday night at Hillview. I said, you're not bringing me down. I'm excited because God is awesome. He's incredible. And from since time began, He's had a purpose for your life. And I don't want you to miss that because everybody else wants you to think that your life has no value. It's worthless. It's okay to do whatever you want to your body and say the things you want to say and act the way you want to act. It's nobody's business. As long as what you do doesn't hurt anybody except you, it's okay. That is a lie. Because you were created for the glory of God, every one of you. And God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And can I tell you what's awesome about God? Not only does He have expectations and things that He wants us to accomplish in our lives, but man, here's the good news. He gives us the ability to do that, to meet those very expectations that He's placed on our lives. And that means nothing can defeat me. And nothing can overcome me because God, what He's called me to do, He'll equip me to accomplish. What a God! Can you get excited about that tonight? What a God! The Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Have you ever thought about that? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. I mean, when you even think about the concept, the idea that we would see God. I mean, because the one example we have in the Bible is Moses wanted to see God. And so God does this incredible deal for Moses. He said, tell you what, Moses, just turn around and look at the rock. And Moses looks. And the Bible says that God goes by and His glory reflected off the rock. And it just about blew Moses away. It blinded him. God's glory is so incredible. And I want to tell you, I want to start off this way because the only way you and I can have a pure heart is that there is a holy God. And I'm telling you, I've been thinking about this sermon all week. Blessed are the pure in heart. You would like to think when you're preaching, don't you expect a little credibility out of whoever you're listening to? I mean, you know, if somebody's selling you a vacuum cleaner, I mean, don't you hope they've used it? And know that it works. You know, isn't it disheartening when you go to McDonald's and there's Burger King employees having lunch? Then that make you think, I wonder why they're not eating there. You know, I mean, it makes you think. And so tonight, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And I'm going to tell you, I'd love to do a sermon on here's 10 ways to have a pure heart like I do. But I can tell you a few things I've tried, you know, and we can try them together. But it's about God. And you know why I can preach a sermon? Blessed are the pure in heart. Because God is holy. And He's incredible. And all the stupid stuff I've done. Anybody ever done anything stupid? I mean, some of you said wearing a pink shirt was stupid on my part. But anyway, God, I mean, isn't it incredible that all that we've done, His forgiveness is still available? I want to remind you tonight, this is about a cross and a resurrection. And that Jesus lived and He died and He rose again so that you and I could have eternal life and that we could know Him forever and ever. And so blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. I just want to share three things with you and we'll be done. The first thing is this. God makes a heart pure. God does that. And so even as you hear that title, blessed are the pure in heart, guess what the enemy does? Guess what the enemy started doing immediately? The enemy started reminding you, you don't have a pure heart because you did this. or you said that, or you spoke this way, or you injured that person, or you said this about that person, or you acted this way driving down the road, or you did this and you knew it was wrong and you did it anyway, and the enemy's saying, so you just sit here for about 30 minutes and then you can leave because you have no hope of having a pure heart. I'm going to tell you something. That's a lie. That is a lie. It's my favorite thing with my kids, you know, when they talk. And my son was telling me the other day, I got on him because of a homework assignment and he didn't finish it. And so I was saying, you know, you just have to do this. He goes, I can't do it. I'm stupid. And I said, now, son, the devil is the father of what? Of lies, Daddy. I said, that's right, boy. That's right. I said, because you're not stupid. God's created you for a reason and for a purpose. And the first thing I want you to grasp is that God makes a heart pure. You know, I told you a few weeks ago the story of David. And he was confronted by the prophet Nathan after his affair with Bathsheba, trying to cover it up. He sent Uriah to the battlefront, her husband. He gets killed. And David schemes and schemes and schemes. And finally, God sends a prophet Nathan to David. And Nathan says, "O king, I've got to tell you, there was a rich man, and he had hundreds of thousands of sheep, hundreds of thousands of cattle, a mansion, acres and acres. He had all this stuff. But he went down to the valley, and he stole the lone sheep of a shepherd. What should happen?" And David gets indignant. He's mad. He goes, "Well, this should happen to this guy, and this should happen to this guy. That was not right. It was evil. It was unjust." And finally, the prophet says to David, "David, you're the man. It was you." And David pens this phenomenal psalm in Psalm 51. And I'm not going to read the whole psalm. I just want to read Psalm 51:10, where David writes, "Create in me a pure heart, God." Now, why would David go to God and say, "Create in me a pure heart"? Here's why. Because you and I, try as we might, cannot make our hearts pure. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. That's good news. So if you want to get a little rowdy tonight and get excited that, you know, it's not up to you, because if I've done anything, I have tainted my heart. I did this sermon one time, and I had this big aquarium full of water. And I had little cups of water that had like a red cup. And I was like, and this is sin and what it does. And I pour it in. And I said, and this, you know, I had a green cup. And I was like, this is, you know, greed. And I pour it in and it's all dark, you know, and like, what do we do? And I said, but then we have the blood of Jesus. And I just had a clear cup to represent that. And of course, it was bleach, you know, and I'm all excited. And I pour it in and I go, and that's what we have after Jesus. And it was like still really dark, you know. I was like, you know, and then I'm like, I just need a thing of bleach, you know, you know. And but here's the deal. The illustration didn't work, but you know what? Jesus always works. And he does what he does. And so, like David, you and I can pray, "God, create in me a pure heart." And so I know this, at the very beginning, right here, God is talking about our hearts. And the Bible says, from the abundance of our heart, our mouths speak. How many of you wish you had a remote control for your mouth? How many of you wish you had a remote control for somebody else's mouth? Right, great movie concept, click, you know. I mean, how many times I can't shut my mouth? And so I'm always working on my mouth. So I'm going to start saying other words, you know, that sound like curse words, but they're not, you know. So I'm always trying to tell my kids, no, that's not what I said. I said shin. Which is true. That's what I said, because that's one of my words that I use. And my six-year-old's like, "Dad, I don't understand. What's wrong with your shin?" You see, because my problem's not my mouth. It's my heart. Because from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So sometimes I've got some anger in there. And you can always tell when there's anger in your heart, because stupid stuff makes you angry, right? I'm at Kroger, and I've got a list with like 13 things on it. Don't tell Pastor Steve I grocery shop. And there's like 13 things on it. And man, I get to 12 things in 5 minutes, and then there's the last thing that I know she just put on there because she knows they don't have it. Now I'm in the baking section, or worse, like the woman section, you know what I'm talking about? And finally I'm like, where is it? She's like, why are you so upset? I'm just, where is it? Nobody's heard of it. It doesn't exist. Why did you do this to me? You know, because there's anger there. You know, or somebody just says some little silly thing and it really upsets you. Because there's anger there, or there's bitterness there, or there's just stuff there. And I can't do anything about it. Man, I can't hook myself up to something to get that stuff out. It is there. How many of you know, don't raise your hand, that it's there. It is there. That stuff is there. Welcome to the planet. That stuff is there. And that's why Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. But He doesn't just leave us there. He doesn't just leave us hanging there, because if that's all we had, all of us would get very discouraged. But Jesus said that because He knows that it's possible for you and I to have a pure heart. So how do we do that? So David writes, oh God, create in me a pure heart. And so I can depend on God, and I can go, and all that junk that's in my heart, I can take it to God. Like, if you've come here any amount of time on Wednesday night, or really Sunday for that matter, you know, it seems like we're a little hung up about the altar. Because we always give an altar call, and we don't understand why people preach the gospel and don't give an altar call. We don't get that. People tell us all the time, you know, you could preach longer if you didn't have altar calls. And we say, nope, at Hillview we can preach as long as we want and then have an altar call. Because it's important. And I get hung up on the altar. I'll tell you why. Because I remember being a 16-year-old kid. I've been raised in church all my life. And I'm sitting back there, and all of a sudden, it's one of those moments when you get it. You ever have a moment like that? When you just get it. I'm sure I told you last week, I was preaching at Eastern Kentucky's BSU, and I said something. Right when I said it, everybody goes, oh. And that is such an incredible feeling. Like, they all got it at the same time, but really there's a screen above me, and they put the scripture verse up, and everybody was like, oh, you know. And so it was not like that, but, you know, every Wednesday night I pray, God, tonight, let's have a moment like that. And I'm 16, and I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, my heart's quivering. And my heart's quivering, and I'm start shaking a little bit, and I don't know what's going on, and my eyes are watering. I'm a 16-year-old kid, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on here, because the Holy Spirit got a hold of me, and I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit still gets a hold of people. Amen. That's an incredible thing. And there I am, and all of a sudden, the preacher stands up, and he gives the altar call, and I can't control myself, and I'm around all these people, and they're laughing and having fun and passing notes, and I'm crying and shaking, and I don't know what's going on. And finally, I'm like, okay, God, if you're really doing this to me, then He'll say, we'll do one more verse. And as soon as I say that, the preacher says, we're going to do one more verse because somebody's here that God's talking to. And I'm like, it's me. I'm coming. And come to the altar, and I'm not even sure why I'm at the altar, and I'm crying, and it's emotional. And people are always like, I don't like those church services that just go for emotions. Church services don't. God does. He made us that way. And so sometimes I cry. I love coming to the altar, and somebody's sobbing at the altar, and I say, what's going on? And they look at you and say, I don't know. And I guess what I get to say? I know. I know what's going on. It's God. Because only He can make a heart pure. And I remember coming to that altar and just crying at that altar. And that's why I'm like so huge about the altar. And that's why some of you, I just want to go get you and bring you to the altar and let you know it's okay. You won't break out or anything like that. But God might break out. And that's what I hope happens. That God would just move like that. And it, as the people of God, we would trust Him. Because every one of you here, I don't care where you've been or what you've done. That's fun to say at Hillview. Because there's always people at Hillview, and they've been there. And they've done that. And they shake their heads like, you don't know what you're saying. But you know what? It doesn't matter. God knows. God knows where you've been, and God knows what you've done, and yet He still says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And that doesn't mean if you've been there and you've done that you can't. It means you can. That His grace is sufficient for you, and His grace is sufficient for me. And so on those days when marriage is really fun, if you know what I mean, when it's tough, right? It's really tough when you look at each other and I'm thinking, you're just mean. And she's thinking, yeah, well, I had to marry you because of something I did a long time ago. You know, and you're having all those kind of thoughts. And God can still reign supreme because it's all about Him. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And David writes, oh God, create in me a pure heart. For some of you, that's the end of the message. You just need to come to the altar tonight and say, oh God, create in me a pure heart. And I promise you, He can do it. Listen, I believe this. I believe it. I wouldn't be here if I didn't, because I know that He can do it. Because He did it in my life. And I just want to say, gosh, if He can do it in my life, then He can do it in yours. And He will. But we must pray, just like David, who said, create in me a pure heart, O God. And listen to this. God makes a heart pure. In Psalm 119:32, the psalmist writes, you have set my heart free. Free. And so everybody thinks Christianity is about what you can't do. And I tell everybody, it's the opposite. Now I can do things that I could never do before. Because all the things I could do on my own only brought me bondage. It only brought me a cell. It only brought me captivity. But now it says, you, O Lord, have set my heart free. Because now my heart is free to love Him, to follow Him, to obey Him. And it could never do that before. Because God makes a heart pure. Now I want you to hear this. Right now, some of you, you're shaking a little bit. And your heart's shaking a little bit. And I love it because not long after your heart begins to quiver, your lips begin to quiver. And God's getting a hold of you. And I'm telling you, if God doesn't get a hold of you, you don't have any hope. Because He is it. He's the only hope you have. And that's the message we want to scream to a lost and dying world. That He loves you. And He'll take hold of you. And He'll create in you a pure heart. He will set your heart free. And that's what we pray together. Here's a second thing. God makes a heart pure. And the second thing is that God knows the heart. God knows your heart. Do you know how incredible this is? God knows your heart. Some of you are spending so much time and energy trying to fake everybody else out. And we break out our religious words when we get to church. Man, me and my wife were coming to church on Sunday morning, and I'm mad because she was late. She didn't get the kids ready in time while I was watching Sports Center. And so we're coming. We're in the car. And I'm saying, from now on, you're going to have to get up earlier, and you're going to have to get these kids ready. You shut up or I come back there and you get out. Pastor Jamie, hi. How are you? And we pretend and we act like something that we're not. We try to act like something, but God knows my heart already, no matter what I do. No matter what. I was reading this book called Sex and the Supremacy of God. And I'm reading that within the context of marriage, God has designed sex to bring glory to Him. And so I come home and I say to my wife, I want to bring glory to God. Don't you want to bring glory to God? And we pretend and we act like all these things, but the truth is, God already knows my heart. God already knows your heart. And some of you think you've done a great job faking everybody out, but here's the deal. Everybody ain't going to be on the throne. God is. And He knows your heart already. And that's why I wish you would come to the altar tonight and say, God, you know my heart. You know I'm a fake. You know I'm a phony. You know I'm pretending and I'm acting like it's all about you, God, but I'm living like it's all about me. Oh, God, create in me a pure heart. Oh, God, set my heart free. God, He knows our hearts. In Psalm 139:23, the psalmist writes, search me, O God, and know my heart. The second point is not meant to discourage you tonight. It It's not men. You see, God's word is powerful. And God's word is his revelation of who he is. And he has written these things so that you and I know that he can set us free, that he can create in us a pure heart. He wants us to know in a positive way, I already know your heart. You know why God would say that I already know your heart? Why would God say that? Because he wants you to quit wasting your life trying to fake him out. And he's saying to you, I already know your heart. You know what that means? That God is saying, I know your struggle. I know where you've been. I know what you've done. I know what's going on in your life. I know your heart. And then here's the follow-up. And I can fix it. I can make it right. You can have peace. I can get rid of that bitterness. I can get rid of that anger. I can do that because I am God. I wish somehow we could grasp this really simple concept that it really all comes down to God. And it doesn't come down to me. If it came down to me, there'd be no hope for any of us. But it comes down to God. And he's incredible. He's unbelievable that he would forgive the sin of our lives. And some of you, you're having trouble believing that because there's this habitual sin in your life. And that means you've done it and you said, oh God, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? And then you do it again and you say, oh God, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? And then you do it again and you do it again and you do it again. And man, it's the human life. But God can overcome. And he knows your heart. And he doesn't want you to sit there and say, I'm sorry, 30,000 times. He wants you to get on your face before him. I remember talking to this group of guys. I did a men's retreat. And we were talking about pornography, which like, I don't know, like 9.5 out of 10 men like are addicted to pornography. I mean, it's unbelievable. And I'm talking to these guys, and man, we just had like a real intense moment. And I said, you know, how many of you guys are willing to admit tonight that you really struggle with it? And of course, it's just guys there. And I said, if you struggle with it, stand up. And like, everybody stands up. I said, how many of you are really serious about doing something about it? About half of them sat down. I said, how many of you are willing to really have an exchange with me to do something about it? About half of the half sit down. I said, I want the rest of you come right up here. So they come up. Said, how many of you are really, really serious about this? And they all say they are. I say, okay, here's the deal. I'm going to meet you. These guys are from Louisville. I'm going to meet you Monday morning. And bring your computers to me. There we go. I don't know about you all, but like I lived like 30 years without a computer and life went on just fine. I didn't need it. It wasn't hooked to my heart. It wasn't hooked to my brain. It doesn't keep me alive. I said, are you serious about it? Listen, only with God can we overcome these things. Only with God. And he's saying, blessed are the pure in heart, because he knows that through his Holy Spirit, through his forgiving power, that you and I can have a pure heart. So we've got to know, God makes a heart pure. Only God knows the heart. And here's a third thing. The Bible says that a pure heart will see God. A pure heart will see God. Isn't it amazing? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. I tried to read a bunch of commentaries. I tried to understand the theological implications of seeing God. Because the Bible says that no one has seen God. And so I want to explain this to you in a way. Here's how we're going to see God. Nobody had a great reasoning for what it means that we will see God. And so maybe in a really elementary way, I think that what's at the heart of this is that the ways that we see God is that when we see God move, there's salvific implication in this. Because at salvation, I believe God does this work of making a heart pure. And God reaches through to our hearts And he begins this incredible work of making our hearts pure. And the salvific implication is that at the end of my life, whenever that is, I stand before God, and only one thing matters then. Only one thing matters when I stand before God, and God's not going to say, "What was your net worth?" He's not going to say, "What kind of car did you drive?" He's not going to say all those things that people think that he might say. "Did you have perfect Sunday school attendance?" We're going to be like, "God, we went to Hillview. We didn't have Sunday school." He's not going to say all that. He's not going to say, "Did you go to Wednesday night worship?" He's just going to ask, "What did you do with Jesus?" And that's all that's going to matter. And so the implication is that as you and I enter into a relationship with Jesus, that begins a process of our hearts becoming pure. And that, guess what? One day, we will see God. We will see God. I think there's another implication, and it's the implication that we would see God move in a mighty way. And I think there's something about living this life that God is calling us to, that we would live our lives in such a way. In Hebrews 12:14, it says, "Without holiness, no one will see God." Without holiness, no one will see God. And so holiness is what God is and what He's calling you and I to be. And so we got to live our lives like that, in holiness. Well, I don't think living our lives in holiness means that there's never any sin in our lives. I think living our lives in holiness means that we live our lives as if God is all that matters. And if God is all that matters, then I'm going to do what God says to do, and I'm going to follow Him. I tell people all the time, don't call yourself a follower of Jesus if you're not going to follow Him. And He's laid out some real basic instructions. You don't have to be real smart to figure these things out, because He's made His Word plain and clear. He has shown Himself to us. He has given us His Word. And if you're not reading it, then you're not going to know what's required of us. Without holiness, no one will see God. I'm going to close with this. In Psalm 24, it says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For He founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters." Listen to this. "Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place?" And the Bible answers, "He who has clean hands and a pure heart." And so we pray, "Oh God, give us clean hands. And give us a pure heart." Because here's what happens. As God does that, then people begin to see God in your life and in my life. And it makes a difference. And God uses that. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." And so we have a time of altar. And some of you know, "Oh, my heart, it's so dirty." And you know, and so what's a dirty heart? It's a heart with a lot of impure motives. I've told you the story about the pastor who counseled the woman whose husband ran off with another woman. And the pastor says, "You know, here's one of the things you're going to have to do to get through this time. You're going to have to pray for him every day." And a woman says, "Oh, pastor, I do pray for him every day. I pray every day that he'll choke on her food and die." Well, that's a heart with an impure motive. But that we would have a heart for God. That we would say, "Oh God, give us clean hands. And give us pure hearts so that we would see you. So that we would know you, so that we would follow you, so that we would receive every good thing that you have for us." And the Bible says every good and perfect gift is from God. You know what some of those gifts are? The gift of forgiveness and the gift of healing. And some of you are here tonight and you've carried bitterness for a long time because of something somebody did to you. And you know what tonight? You know why you're here tonight? Because God wants to heal you of that. God wants to take that away. And some of you are here tonight and you're struggling to forgive yourself for something. And I used to say, so just pray and ask God to help you forgive yourself. But you know what? It's not even biblical. I can't find anywhere where the Bible says, "And ye must forgive yourself." It's not there. The Bible says that God is all you need. You don't need to forgive yourself. Only God needs to forgive you. And guess what? He'll work out the details. Do you trust Him? Do you trust Him? Some of you are struggling because you've been praying for somebody for a long, long time and you've wondered, God, do you even hear me? And people say, so what do? I prayed for them for 20 years. And you know what I say? Pray that God gives you another 20 years to pray for them some more. That we would have that kind of heart. That we would be that kind of people. Some of you here tonight, and I want to tell you this, with all the love and pleading in my heart, the only way you have a pure heart is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I don't care what anybody tells you, and if they tell you anything different from what I'm about to tell you, they're liars. Sent from Satan to tell you what they've told you, because here's the truth of the gospel. Jesus is the only way to heaven. And it's through His forgiveness. And if you think you're going to get there another way, you're going to be sadly, tragically mistaken. But you know what the good news is? He's the only way, but He'll forgive you. He'll forgive you. And you can trust Him and invite Him to come into your life. If I ask you this question tonight, why do you think you're going to heaven? Why do you think you're going to heaven? If you have any other answer other than because Jesus has saved me, then here's what I'm telling you. You are rolling dice with your eternity. Because Jesus is the only way. I remember a lady getting so mad at me one night because I said that. She said, I am so mad at you because you said Jesus is the only way, and I wasn't brought up like that. We believe there's many roads to heaven. I said, well, you know what? Then you're not mad at me. You don't have a problem with me. You have a problem with God because He said it. I didn't. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And I love to say that because then I love to follow up and by saying this, He loves you. And He will forgive you. And your life's not an accident or a mistake. He created you for a purpose that your life would glorify Him, and it can do just that. So you know what? If you know you've never invited Christ to come into your life, if you know you've never done that, you are banking on some other way, I plead with you tonight to come to this altar. And because I'm pleading with you, you know what I'm asking some of you to do? Some of you are sitting there and you're fine, you're cool, you and the Lord are good, you've got peace. I'm asking some of you to come to the altar anyway and just pray that somebody will get saved. And who knows, maybe you're getting up and coming down here will give somebody else the courage to get out of their seat and to come down here. You're carrying around those things for a long time. Bring them to the altar tonight. Bring them to the altar. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And I don't know about you, but I want to see God. And before I see Him in heaven, I just want to see Him move today. And I want to see what He can do and what He's capable of today. Stand with me. Father, we love You. We thank You for who You are. You are the giver of life. And we come to You because You're the only hope we have. We come to You because You're beyond us. We come to You because You alone are worthy of our lives. So, Father, I pray there are some here tonight that don't know You. And they're praying right there. They're quivering. They're shaking. And, Lord, I pray that they would come tonight to this altar and give their lives to Jesus. I pray for those who've been carrying around a lot of junk for a long time, they would come to this altar tonight and lay it down. Lord, we love You. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. Don't wait. Just come right now. As Pastor Keith sings, you just come right now.